listening to Beating Neuropathy and Chronic Pain with Dr. John Hayes, author of the bestseller, Beating Neuropathy, Taking Misery to Miracles in Just 5 Weeks. Here is Dr. John Hayes.
Hi, everybody. Good evening once again. This is Dr. John Hayes. I'd like to welcome everybody to this week's edition of Beating Neuropathy Radio. And what we're going to do this week is to spend a little bit of time talking about a very common phenomenon that we hear and we see from patients, and that is, what is the difference between a motor neuropathy and a sensory neuropathy? And we're going to try to keep it as simple as we possibly can because this is a very, very important subject. But before we kind of dive into the specifics there, there is something that I want to make sure everybody is clear on, and that is, when we use the word neuropathy, we're not talking about a single disorder. Those of you who have been around this subject for a long time know that neuropathy is, in fact, many, many different disorders. And the more we learn about the various types of neuropathy, the more sometimes we as physicians realize we just don't know. In other words, as we expand into more research that gives us some clearer insight into genetics and individual makeup of the human body, just like there's biochemical individuality, there's some substantial genetic individuality, and some of these genetic variances, if you will, actually will manifest at various points and times in our lives as certain disease processes. And neuropathy is no exception. Now, some of the biggest questions are, what causes the expression of these genes, if you will? In other words, what causes one person to develop neuropathy and another person not? Now, of course, there are other types of neuropathies which are not related to genetics, and those, of course, would be the types of neuropathy that are the result of trauma or injury, those that are the result of toxins or drugs or other chemicals in the environment, and certainly those neuropathies that are secondary to diseases which may develop, such as diabetes and so on. Now, we certainly can make a very strong argument about the genetic components of diabetes because I think they're pretty numerous and something we see in the clinic every day. But that's something I really want to make sure that we're clear on because, you know, it's very, very easy when you navigate the internet, especially, to just search for the word neuropathy, and you'll see, gosh, you'll see literally thousands and thousands upon thousands of people that have neuropathy. And as I've written about and say all the time to my patients in the clinic, there is no one-size-fits-all neuropathy. It happens to be at least 100 different disorders, which is why it's so important to, number one, try to get an accurate diagnosis wherever possible, but number two, understand that everybody's different and everybody responds differently. So with that said, let's talk about some of the differences between a motor neuropathy and a sensory neuropathy. Now, when we talk about a sensory neuropathy, what we're doing basically is speaking about sensory phenomena. In other words, changes in sensation. Sensation really is something that allows our bodies to communicate with our brain. In other words, it's the way that we communicate with our external environment. For example, I'm sitting here at my desk this morning and I'm able to taste that my coffee is good and it's warm. I'm also simultaneously having a glass of water, and I can feel that that water has some ice in it and it's cold. So my sensations, fortunately, are normal at my tongue and also at my fingertips. Well, in neuropathy, there are disturbances in sensation, and you know this as a patient. Very commonly, you may experience sometimes a loss of sensation. Oftentimes, patients will experience tingling, burning sensation, sometimes shooting pain, and sometimes just a complete absence of sensation, unfortunately, in some neuropathies can ultimately develop. And there's a very, very wide degree of variability in terms of who experiences what. Now, in the clinic, of course, if we can identify most precisely what findings you may have on the examination, for example, if your sensation to light touch is diminished versus your sensation of vibration, that tells us a little bit more about which particular type of neuropathy you may be afflicted with, what types of nerves, and where these nerves are afflicted in your particular situation. So sensory neuropathy really is the type of neuropathy that involves changes or disturbances in sensation that you as the patient experience and that we as the clinicians can actually observe or measure. Now, the motor neuropathies actually are the group of neuropathies where there is some manifestation of loss of muscle power. Now, this could certainly manifest itself as weakness, and indeed there is some crossover here. In other words, patients that do have sensory neuropathy sometimes experience some mild motor symptoms, but in the more severe forms of neuropathies, especially the genetic neuropathies, there is oftentimes a substantial loss of muscle function or motor power. That's what's called a motor neuropathy. Some of the things that we see in the clinic, for example, are patients who have some of the genetic motor neuropathies will develop some extreme weakness of the feet and the legs. Unfortunately, this can begin at very, very early ages, but not always. So there's, again, quite a different degree of variability here. Oftentimes, what we'll find is that patients that have the motor neuropathy will have visible signs of atrophy or loss of muscle tone. For example, when we look at the calves and the feet of these patients, what we'll see is that the muscles have become thin, they've become small, and when we test them manually, we find that they just don't have the strength that would be considered normal. So from a general perspective, that's the difference between a sensory and a motor neuropathy. Generally speaking, and again, this is a very, very gross generalization, patients that suffer from motor neuropathies are much more difficult to treat. In the pure sensory neuropathies, such as those neuropathies that most commonly accompany metabolic syndrome, early diabetes, chemotherapy, and so on, it is primarily the sensory nerves that are affected. And even though it can be very debilitating and sometimes extraordinarily difficult, if not impossible, to treat, generally speaking, in the clinic, they respond easier and a lot faster than do the motor neuropathies. And I believe that the real reason for that is that in many of the motor neuropathies, some significant damage has taken place in the nervous system, which is never 100% repairable, or there's a genetic component, if you will. There's something in your genes that is actually fighting recovery. So when we come back from the break, what we're going to do next is to dive into some of the most commonly known causes of motor neuropathies and talk about some of the practical things that you need to not only know, but things that you may be able to do to help deal better with them. You're listening to Beating Neuropathy Radio, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you one of the 20 million Americans suffering the misery of neuropathy? Many people just like you have discovered there is now very effective and affordable treatment for diabetic post-chemotherapy shingles and other type of neuropathy and chronic pain. The unique Neuropathy DR program was developed by Dr. John Hayes and is now being used by many doctors and physical therapists around the USA. There are lots of patient resources for you at neuropathydr.com. But the best news of all, now you can talk directly to Dr. John Hayes by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a neuropathy analysis by phone or in person for yourself or a loved one free of charge. But hurry, you must ask today. Don't forget, call right now, 781-659-7989, while neuropathy analysis slots are still open. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
Everybody, this is Dr. John Hayes. Welcome back to tonight's episode of Beating Neuropathy Radio. And as we said at the top of the hour, what we're doing this week is discussing the differences between motor neuropathy and sensory neuropathy. And when we left before the break, we started to discuss some of the most severe neuropathies, those being the motor neuropathies, and we talked a lot about genetics. And what I'd like to do next is to spend a little bit of time talking about some of the most common forms of motor neuropathies that we see in the world and in the United States, of course, too. And this basically is the classification of motor neuropathies that come under the term CMT. CMT stands for Charcot-Marie-Tooth. The name actually was attributed to the disorder back in 1886. There were a group of physicians in France and England that were simultaneously working with patients and came up with groups of patients that fell into this particular categories. But as we said at the top of the hour, there is a difference between sensory and motor neuropathy. And sensory neuropathy, again, we're talking about nerves that afflict sensation. Motor neuropathies, we're talking about nerves or affects, if you will. We're talking about nerves that control muscle or motor power. You know, motor nerves basically are the ones that create the impulses that cause muscles to contract. They also will regulate activities such as breathing, swallowing, speaking, I mean, virtually everything that we do. Now, one of the most prevalent motor neuropathies, as we said, is CMT or Charcot-Marie-Tooth. I wouldn't really call it common, although some estimates place it between 10 and 36 patients out of every 100,000 people may have some form of CMT. There are several different types. In fact, the more we learn about CMT, the more we realize we don't know. It used to be thought that CMT was simply one disorder. Now we know that CMT is many, many disorders. And as we look at the various types and we look at the prevalence of CMT around the world, we even know that there are genetic variants that seem to be population-based. And this accounts for some of the difficulties, of course, in not only diagnosing but treating patients with CMT. But in any event, CMT is the condition that is typified by weakness of the legs and the feet, usually occurring in adolescence or early adulthood, but not always. Some of the more rare forms of CMT have been known to show up in patients in their late 80s. There is a difference between CMT1 and CMT2, and then there are many other subtypes. But the biggest difference is that CMT1 tends to be a more severe. Patient is generally younger in onset. In fact, it could be an adolescent who may present initially with some loss of muscle tone, muscle weakness, and we'll see things such as scoliosis or spinal curvature. We'll see changes in the structure of the foot, sometimes called a cavus foot, where the patients will have high arches, and we'll experience some signs of difficulty with walking, perhaps with other physical activities that are noted in a childhood and adolescence. And again, the severity of this can vary greatly. Sometimes it can be extraordinarily severe to the point that these young children and adolescents need to rely on foot and leg braces and orthopedic devices. And in some cases, patients might progress so rapidly they have respiratory difficulties. And these, of course, are very, very difficult forms of CMT to treat. The good news is, though, that most forms of CMT do not affect life expectancy, but they certainly can be very, very challenging to deal with. And again, CMT is caused by mutations in the genes, and these are the genes that actually code for structure and function of primarily the axon and myelin. You know, the axon is the long process of the nerve that extends from the cell body, in other words, where the nerve cell actually lives in the spinal cord and extends all the way down, in this case, to the feet. So those long processes are oftentimes affected. And then also myelin. Myelin is the sheath that conducts the nerve, which allows for rapid transmission of nerve impulses, becomes affected in some forms of CMT as well. And when there are genetic defects, the proteins that allow the axons to maintain the normal structure and function or allow myelin to maintain their normal structure and function become impaired, and the net result is CMT, which manifests, as we said before, as a motor neuropathy typified by significant weakness in type 1 in an early onset and a later onset in type 2. There are some other things that we do know about CMT, and depending upon your level of interest, you can find lots more. Fortunately, there are several associations now that are dedicated to patients with motor neuropathy. You can find most of these online or even in your local library. For those of you who are healthcare professionals or have a technical interest in CMT, one of the best resources always is the National Library of Medicine, which you can access online at pubmed.com. PubMed is a great resource because you can actually tag certain articles and come back to them. And as we find more and more in this day and age, especially in patients with significant impairments, more and more patients are doing lots and lots of research on their own. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what a little of the more recent research tells us about CMT, but most importantly, we're going to talk about what are some of the most constructive approaches to those of us who are afflicted with motor neuropathy. Again, you're listening to Beat Your Neuropathy Radio, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you or someone you love one of the 100 million Americans suffering the misery of chronic pain? Unfortunately, chronic pain patients suffer more than their share of tingling, burning, sleeplessness, and major life disruption. Well, now there is a very effective, affordable clinic and home co-treatment available for many forms of chronic, disabling pain. The unique neuropathy DR program developed by Dr. John Hayes is now being used by doctors and physical therapists around the USA. You'll find more cancer and pain patient resources at neuropathydr.com. This is really good news. Talk directly to Dr. Hayes' Norwell office by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a chronic pain analysis for yourself or a loved one for free. But hurry, you must act as these slots are limited. Dr. Hayes will personally help you decide if this approach may work for you, too. Call right now, 781-659-7989. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
Hi again, everybody. This is Dr. John Hayes. Welcome back to this week's edition of Beating Neuropathy Radio. And before the break, we were talking about CMT, or Charcot-Marie-Tooth neuropathy, which, of course, is a motor neuropathy. We're going to continue the discussion, talking a little bit more about how a diagnosis is made, and then dive into some of the more practical aspects of treatment. As we said in the beginning, CMT is a genetic disorder. And because it's a genetic disorder, one of the most important things in terms of making a diagnosis is a family history. Now, obviously, if a patient has a very significant form of CMT and they know their family history, they may recall relatives who have had a similar affliction. And that, of course, would be manifest by atrophy or wasting of leg muscles, a weakness of the leg muscles, sometimes scoliosis or spinal curvature, and other abnormalities of the skeletal system, which could include things like flat feet or high arches. Some patients will have hip dysplasia and other issues, and so on. There will also be usually a history of younger patients with CMT visiting physicians relatively frequently. Sometimes the diagnosis is not made as quickly as we would like. And so it's very incumbent that you learn as much about your family history as you can, if at all possible, because it will shed a lot of light on what could be happening. And one thing I want to mention, too, is that when I deal with patients in the neuropathy clinic, one of the things that's very, very helpful to me is to know as much about the patient's family history as possible, even if patients don't recall a specific diagnosis. For example, I had a patient yesterday who said, you know, even as a young girl, I remember having extreme pain and soreness and difficulty when I would go to my dances in high school. And she also recalled that her mother, although never formally diagnosed with neuropathy, suffered from very, very debilitating periods, not only of pain, but weakness, and significant times out of her life, of course, because of a debilitating condition that more than likely was neuropathy. So all these things are particularly helpful and do help make the diagnosis. Now, if CMT is suggested, patient, or it's suggested by history, we'll next move the patient into a diagnostic phase, and this diagnostic phase usually includes a battery of tests in addition to the usual comprehensive physical examination. We will perform other tests such as EMGs or electromyography and NCVs or nerve conduction velocities. Both of these are very, very helpful in establishing a diagnosis. In this day and age, it's becoming more common or more commonly available to have genetic testing available. However, the caution I have with regard to genetic testing is, number one, it can be extraordinarily expensive and not covered by third-party insurance. And number two, unfortunately, today, meaning 2013, even if we make a diagnosis of a specific form of CMT, we don't necessarily have good treatments for it other than some of the things that we're going to talk about. So I would suggest that you, if you suffer from CMT or think you may or have a loved one who does, you work with the largest teaching hospital you can in your area and work with the neurologists in that department that have the most experience in treating CMT, because it is a very, very complex group of disorders. Again, I can't emphasize this enough. This is not just one condition. It is actually a disorder that accompanies many, many different types of variations or subtypes, if you will. But anyhow, what we want to do for the remainder of tonight's show is to delve into some of the most common things that we would employ in our clinics to help patients with CMT. Again, keeping in mind that as of right now, there are no known cures for CMT, but there are, like many neuropathies, lots of things that we can do with lifestyle and treatment that can be very beneficial to CMT patients. The area that holds the most promise, in my opinion, for patients with CMT is the same area that holds promise for patients with many different forms of neuropathy, and those are the types of treatments that help employ or help boost the body's own regenerative capacity. Now, look, when we suffer from genetic disorders, the reality is that we're never going to have a perfect function. It's just physiologically impossible too much of the time. Now, in the future, that may change. However, we do know that there are certain things that we can do that might help dampen the expression of certain genes and slow down the process and dramatically improve the quality of life. And in CMT, this would include things like physical therapy, occupational therapy, as we said earlier, the use of braces and supports. And in our clinic now, we're very excited about regenerative technologies, in other words, technologies that have shown in some cases to help boost recovery from nerve injury. And this would include things such as laser, LED therapy, and some forms of electrotherapy. And again, we're not making any guarantees or promises here, but we are saying that oftentimes with good combined treatment approaches, patients are able to achieve a higher level of function than ever before. So that's really good news. Also, I would not discount the use of appropriate dietary changes and indeed dietary supplementation, because there are some signs now appearing in the medical literature that at least in some forms of CMT, that dietary supplementation with things like coenzyme Q10 can actually slow down the expression of gene expression. In other words, it can slow down the manifestation of the disease and actually contribute to a patient's quality of life substantially. Again, this type of research is in its infancy, and I would encourage you to do your homework on this, but again, very, very encouraging. And as I tell my patients all the time, the most important thing that I can do for you or we can do for you as clinicians is to help enhance the function of your nervous system and indeed your entire health as much as we possibly can. And that's why we would employ all the things that we discuss all the time, such as laser, LED, neurotherapy, physical therapy, and even some tried and true physical therapy modalities like interferential therapy and ultrasound. All of these things have their place in the hands of a clinician. And when combined with some of the other things we do, like manual therapies, manipulation, mobilization, massage therapy can really help minimize the need for painkilling drugs and help patients improve the quality of their life. And so that is probably the most important thing that we can emphasize about tonight's show. One of the other things to keep in mind is that should you suffer from CMT or a variant of CMT or really any type of motor neuropathy, it's very important you be extraordinarily careful around the home because you, of course, are more prone towards falls and that type of thing. Very important that if you need any assistive devices that you work with your orthotist, who is the person that actually manufactures and produces these assisted devices, which can really improve the quality of your life dramatically. It's also very important that any assisted device be adjusted when necessary. Assisted devices such as foot orthoses and so on, even special shoes or boots, if they're not properly fitted or properly adjusted, can really cause a lot of irritation and will make life more difficult than it needs to be. So again, there's no substitute for working with a great therapist and a great orthotist to help you along with all the needs that that you have. And one of the other things that's, of course, very, very exciting now in the treatment of many, many forms of peripheral neuropathy for us are the changes that we see in the clinic when patients are put through some of the programs that we've just discussed, such as the application of certain forms of electric stim, done not only in the clinic but also done at home with our home care kits. This combined with some of the detoxification diets and detoxification dietary supplements, also dietary supplements using things such as acetyl-L-carnitine, alpha-lipoic acid, coenzyme Q10, and the like that may actually help improve nerve function, have a place in many, many forms of neuropathy. And with that said, I want to encourage each and every one of you, should you suffer from CMT or a variant of CMT or really any type of motor neuropathy, rather than throw in the towel, I would recommend you instead focus on living the best life you possibly can, live the healthiest life you possibly can, and that's why we are here for you. I would also encourage you, don't let any doctor tell you that there's no hope or there's nothing that can be done until everything possible has been done. And with that said, I want to remind everybody that we're here to help you. If you have any questions about this particular topic, please post them at facebook.com/beatingneuropathy. Again, this is a very, very tough issue. It's a very difficult medical problem. But nonetheless, we encourage you to be as we are, and that is very optimistic about what can be done and focus on the positives and focus on things that we can actually change. And with that said, once again, it's been a pleasure to be with you, and I look forward to spending time with you again next week. Have a great rest of your day.